Masechet Betza, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah says, Em vakirin etzim lo mina korot, velo mina korashi nishbera, biyom tov. If there were construction beams that were set aside for construction, a person's not allowed to go then use them for firewood on Yom Tov. They are mukse mehamat hisaron kis. They were set aside for expensive construction materials, so he can't then go use them for firewood on Yom Tov. Even if they broke, korashi nishbera, even if they broke on the Yom Tov, and now they're not ra'ui, they can't be used for construction anymore, they are still mukse, and he cannot use them for firewood either on Yom Tov. Again, since they were set aside at the beginning of the Yom Tov or the Shabbat, whatever it may be, they're now designated for that purpose. And even if the function would change later on, they retain their original intention of what they were supposed to be used for, and they remain mukseh for the entire Yom Tov. If the firewood broke before the Yom Tov, then they would be allowed to be used for firewood on Yom Tov because they're not ra'ui, they're not intended for construction anymore. But in terms of tools that are allowed to be used, the Mishnah does set certain restrictions. It says, "Ve'em vakein lo bekardom ve'lo be'megare ve'lo b'magal." You're not allowed to chop wood with an axe, with a saw, or with a sickle. These tools are usually used by a craftsman in order to do melacha that is forbidden on Yom Tov. So therefore, if somebody uses them, he would be desecrating the Yom Tov. Ela bekopitz, you can only chop wood using a cleaver. A cleaver is not a craftsman tool, and therefore it can be used. Another halacha with Yom Tov, with mukseh. Bayit shehu male perot satum venifhat. There was a house filled with produce, and it was sealed before Yom Tov began. There were bricks that were piled up at its entrance, and entering it became very difficult. And then that wall of bricks broke on Yom Tov. Notel mimekoma pehat. He's allowed to take produce from that spot where it was broken, even though the produce wasn't accessible and he had no access to it when the Yom Tov started. It's not considered to be mukseh at any point in time because the person had the ability to remove the bricks and then open the room without doing any melacha. It would, though, be a derabanan prohibition of soter, of breaking it down. It's not cemented in place. If it was cemented in place, it would be deoraita. So here, since it's only rabbinically prohibited to go in there, into the room by taking the bricks away, and he didn't actually take the bricks away, they fell down on their own, the pile of bricks broke down, so the food that's inside there is not considered to be mukseh. The next opinion in Rabbi Meir is even more lenient. Rabbi Meir omer, af pohet lekat dehila venotel. Rabbi Meir says, not only are you allowed to take the produce inside, the produce is not mukseh if it falls down, but you're even allowed to remove the bricks from the opening and then take the produce. Since the bricks here were only piled one on top of the other and not cemented together, you're allowed to remove them in order to get the produce inside. Like we said earlier, breaking down the wall would have been only a rabbinic prohibition. So the last Tana allowed it when it just fell on its own. You're allowed to get what's inside. Whatever's inside is not mukseh. According to the Bimeir, he says you're outright allowed to transgress a rabbinic prohibition of soter, of destroying, if it's only on a rabbinic level, in order to obtain food. Just like we have in the Torah, we say that certain melachot are allowed to be broken, lesorech, ochel nefesh, to prepare food on Yom Tov. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, likewise over here, you're allowed to break this rabbinic prohibition of taking the bricks away in order to access the food. The Tanakh Kama, on the other hand, says that you're not allowed to demolish. You can't demolish, even if it's rabbinic, it's not lifted, that prohibition for food preparation. Only certain specific prohibitions are lifted to help you prepare food for Yom Tov. Masechet Betza, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. This Mishnah we're talking about the Isur, the prohibition of making kelim on Yom Tov. That would be a problem of makeba patish, giving the final blow of the hammer, which completes a product. That is Asur on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. We'll talk about a few different things that are part of that prohibition. Mishnah says, "En po hatin taner mi peneshehu ose keli." A person is not allowed to create a lamp because that would be creating a keli. The way they would make a lamp in those days is they would have a piece of clay and they would turn it into a bowl with a little hole in the middle for the wick. So a person's not allowed to make that hollowed out part where the oil would go that is creating a utensil. Mishnah continues, Ve'en pehamin b'yom tov. You're not allowed to make charcoal on Yom Tov. Charcoal itself, which is burning wood in a certain way, is also considered to be a utensil because the goldsmith would use it in order to purify gold. Ve'en chotchin et ha-petilah l'shnayim. A person's not allowed to cut a wick into two, even though the wick was there already. When he now splits it into two, he now has a second wick, and therefore he's now creating another wick. Now the next Tana will say, no, there is a way you can split a wick into two. Rabbi Yehuda omer, chotecha ba'ur lishtei nerot. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what you could do, if you have one long wick, and you actually need two lamps, what do? You could take that long wick, put it in both the lamps, one end of it into one lamp and the other end into the other lamp. And what you do is you light the middle of it with ur, with fire. And when you light the middle of it with fire, it'll then split into two different wicks. So therefore, he holds that is allowed because it looks like you're lighting the wick, which is permissible. So therefore, he says there's no problem of how it looks. So it becomes permitted on Yom Tov.